Hugh Hefner, a true American icon, created an empire that was unrivaled.
Although some of us bunnies may have gone rogue, it's because of the love and respect that we received from the man behind it all.
Because after all, we did learn from the best.
Relive the stories from the most prominent celebrity home in history.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
From those of us that lived it,
the employees that worked it,
and the guests who loved it.
And
the mayhem continues.
One man's junk is another man's treasure.
That's right. And I'm so old, I'm drunk.
And we are keeping that in the show.
We're taking
Brent,
that out
not get
of the
rid
show.
Of that. That's how we're starting it. Feels like we're back in the butler's pantry right now.
Oh, boy.
Turtle.
I'm Brian O'Lea.
I'm Victoria Fuller. Turtle. I'm Jennifer Pershing.
And we have the infamous Dan Gibb, butler extraordinaire.
It's cold in here.
Oh, no.
Is infamous, like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Depends.
I think nowadays it's a good thing. I mean, right?
Like, right?
Well, it sells.
Can't have too many haters.
Yeah, well, like Mayhem, you know, Mayhem is a, it's a, we've changed it from disaster
rogue.
To fun.
Chaos
so there
sells.
You go. There you go.
Chaos sells.
Mayhem rhymes with fun.
So we are literally doing a show here, which we are considering the Butler's Pantry.
Yeah.
We're back in the pantry,
we're
dude.
We're back in the pantry.
The pantry. Dan, how did you start at the mansion?
Back in 1972.
No, actually, you know what? I had a brief stint in the automotive industry, even though I've been in special events for 40 years or whatever. But and one of my customers was a guy named Chris Farley. No, Joe Plant was the customer.
Joe Plant, Club Joe. We Club love Joe. Joe.
So Joe was at Cerritos Ford, and my wife, I think, was dealt with him as well. And I'd already been in catering and everything since the early 80s. And so it came up. The topic came up and I said, hey, if you ever need a backup bartender or anything like that, I've been doing it. Sure. I'll get you in. So years go by. And then in our world, one of my coworkers was a guy named Alan Loeb.
Yes. Alan Loeb. And we've had Alan on the show. Yes.
There's an infamous guy, Alan Loeb. So Alan Loeb said, hey, I'm working over at this place and maybe I can get you in. And then I got a phone number and I talked to this guy.
Meaning moi.
Moi.
And you're talking the world of catering because that's what you guys worked for. Multiple large catering companies.
The biggest in the world.
Biggest Spago.
High-end stuff.
High-end stuff.
I mean, I was like Emmys, Oscars, green rooms, dressing rooms, backstage stuff. And then, of course, all the studios. And so a lot of it is fine dining. And Alan, I don't think he said anything about you personally, but he said the house in general. There's the right way and then there's the Playboy way from our industry.
Right.
That was him. And so Easter was my first doohickey.
Oh, wow.
Easter.
That's a great one. Easter's
yeah.
A great
and
one.
I won't even say the thing. Well, no, I can't talk about Easter.
Yeah, you can.
Mad.
It's just us, man. You can tell it. Come on.
Well, just, I mean, stuff.
Go like on.
What? No, you know, you should like talk to Greg Sutton about Easter. What? Well.
Never mind.
It was the way we hid eggs.
Well, okay. So for everyone that's listening, you've heard us talk about Easter and we would paint 3,000
or more
hand-painted eggs. Yeah. And then you guys would have to show up. I think we used to start at 7 a.m. Then we realized we could get it done and we could start at 9. And then we'd hide all the eggs before the festivities started when all the guests would get up there. 3,000 eggs. You're hiding them around the property.
Not easy.
So what are you saying about the hiding of the eggs?
Well, I'm not going to get anybody in trouble, but...
Well, you're not going to... Who's going to get in trouble?
Okay, it's just us here.
There's nobody around to get in trouble with.
All right, I'll blame
I mean, Jen, you're not going to tell no one, right?
This is a safe space.
Well, it's not easy hiding that many eggs.
Just got to worry about Crystal.
Right. Yeah, okay. You can only hide so many eggs in so many places. So sometimes the hiding gets a little bit lax. Like, wait till this kid finds 55 eggs in this bush, you know, that kind of stuff. Because Hef would look out the lawn, correct?
Do you see the looks that Victoria is giving you right
this
now?
Is because not going well
this is
me.
No, because she was like Miss Competition about the egg finding.
Thing. Really?
Yeah,
did you ever find a big clutch of eggs? It's a clutch.
I did, but you know how many times I won the Easter egg hunt?
How many?
7 years in a row. Till Hef said, please.
Who was your guy?
I was the guy.
No, who was the guy?
What guy?
The butler. That was.
Oh, he's a.
Look at that.
He's thinking that like a butler pointed out or telling you where to go.
No. I had a whole system of what I did that I figured out I always went to the game house first because everybody went the opposite direction. Those and all the babies would go to the game house. And before the babies could show up, I raked over all the eggs. Take all, they don't, like they never gonna remember this shit. They don't care. You know, they're three. Fuck them.
You were stealing candy from a kid.
Yeah, I was right there.
Fuck the babies.
Who let them hurt?
Like stealing candy from a kid. Yes.
They were in a different age category. So they were in a different age category. They didn't have to find 100 eggs. They had to find three to get the prize.
That's true. So this is your
first
event.
There was a lot of cheating. There was cheating going on.
This is your first event.
I didn't do that my first event. I did like 10 or 12 Easters or more. But yeah, it, you know, you get comfortable. But yeah. And then there was the masochist butlers. It's like, I'm going to find the thorniest bush, the one with the most prickly stuff in it, and hide them all in there.
Yeah.
Jen's going, wait a minute, that's why. Are you having like flashbacks of your arms being scraped up?
Not where the babies
go. I never participated in the egg scavenger hunt. Yeah. But
yeah. And you know, I entered those in the fair for years, those eggs.
Really?
Yeah, I entered those for years.
Did you get any ribbons? Oh. Paint? Talk about cheating. Well, this is a whole another level
I never
of
painted
stuff
one.
Going. What?
I never painted
yeah.
one.
I wanted to get in on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you
at
were
one point.
Entering them. You were entering other people's artwork.
You know what I did at the fair? Oh, come on. It was all fake. I ruined the Orange County Fair with
oh,
fake.
Oh, this
fake
is
fake
actually
stuff.
Kind of funny.
No, we're not going
to
no, go
okay, we're not going
to
go into that.
Yeah, because he might want to continue to ruin the fair.
Then he'll give away his secret. He's been doing these ongoing jokes in fairs.
At fairs.
We know about it because this is butler talk.
I
changed the whole system at the fairgrounds. And I apologized to people. I had letters and cease and desist stuff. It's a long story.
I have a question for you. You had lots of time at the mansion and lots of interactions with Hef. Can you think of a story that just stands out between you and Hef? Something fun that happened or funny that he said? Because he was so witty. He would say so many fun things, you know?
He was definitely quick.
He was so quick on his comebacks. You'd be like, wow. That's...
Was it Johnny Colato that said when he said to Hef, because he was holding Monkey, and he said, great, I get the primates and you get the playmates or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I had a lot of interesting interactions with Hef. You know, I did give him a birthday gift once that was the biggest reaction I saw of all the times I stood there when people would give him gifts. Mm-hmm. I gave him a beer can from 1978. It's like a 10-cent beer can. He freaked on that beer can.
What was significant about that you gave that to him?
Do you remember Bix Peterbick? The house that...
I remember when this incident happened because you told me about it. And he was really like wild about it.
Yeah, his favorite musician was Bix Biedermann or Bix Peterbick. So that's what they pipe through the house all the time. Remember the poster at the top of the stairs?
Bix What's that Peterbick? Have to do with the beer can?
Well, because I've been in beer can collecting clubs since the 70s.
Oh.
And so we get beer cans from all around. It's a pen pal thing from the
70s.
Yeah. So I give him his gifts. So there was a Bix Biedermann festival in Bettendorf, Iowa, and that's Hef's favorite thing. So it was such an unusual gift. When he saw it, he just freaked out, cracked up, sent Keith to go find me, and he wanted to know how, what, where, and everything. And so a lot of times he would give us the gifts and say, take this up, either take it up, right, or don't take it up. Either it's going to go by his door or not.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because people have wondered, like, what happens to the gifts that get brought to Mr. Hefner?
eBay.
Went right up to the right outside his door, right? Remember
the
that?
Good ones.
Yeah.
No,
and then the other stuff, remember, it would be if he really wanted it, it'd be on the Great Hall table.
Right.
And then eventually that would be moved over to the piano.
So what I did is I said, wow, quite a reaction. And I gave him a card. And, you know, I always, anytime I interact with him, I'd say, if I could slip it in, I'd say, from your worst butler ever. He called me his worst butler ever. I have the receipts. I have the receipts for worst butler ever. So
why did he call you that?
It's a joke.
Well, it was a joke.
Term of endearment.
Yeah. Jameson thinks I'm the worst butler ever. But anyway, so when they went in for the movie, I said, I'm going to go see what he did. Because normally he would give it to us. He took my can and my card. I'd laminated it and had made put pictures of him and I on it and everything. And the story of Bix Peterbick, whatever his name is. Anyway, he walked it up himself before the movie. His one gift, he walks all upstairs. Aww. So when he was in the movie, I went to go find where my can was. He had taken up to the second stairway.
Oh, yeah. So when you go into the into the master bedroom, there's a stairway.
A second,
go up into the offices step. Upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No trespassing there. Anyway, so he had walked that all the way up there to the top of the stairs.
That's the real personal stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool.
A 50-cent beer can from the 70s.
That's nice.
All right, so Dan, you actually brought a bag with you. What do we got here?
Okay, well, because the worst butler ever thing comes up from time to time. So did you turn your stock certificates back
in? I still have mine.
Right.
No, I think it's cool. I did. So I never turned mine in.
Explain to us what this is what you got. Stock certificate.
So I invested heavily in Playboy because I wanted to get the reports and everything and just be, you know, one of the cool kids on the block. So I bought one share and that's $16. Wasn't it like 16?
I received mine as a anniversary gift.
You did? How many?
Yeah. I don't remember what it is. I have it up in, I need to reframe it. But yeah, I never turned mine in. I still have it because it's so cool.
I only had one.
It's all freaking signed and everything. Right. It's awesome.
So they were going out or something and we were all joking on the dining table. And he's like, well, he's looking at me like, what do I write? And I said, well, I am your worst butler. And he goes, and that cracked everybody up and the girls were all cracking up. And I said, there you go. So he wrote to Dan, my worst butler ever.
Oh, dude, that's freaking cool.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Him signing
it, so it's proof.
You actually got a lot of pictures. I know I saw a video earlier you were doing because we have our big reunion coming up. But yeah. When I was looking at that, I'm going, but why didn't I do that? I never really took a lot of pictures of myself with all the different guests and the different people up there. But you got some really cool iconic stuff. But maybe it's because you're also like a historian.
I'm a historian. And growing up, I don't have photos of me doing anything really. So all the years I played football, not one picture. All the years of martial arts, not one picture.
Drag racing, your parents dropped the ball on that one.
Well, they're farmers, and farmers don't carry around cameras. And back in our day, you would have to actually have a camera. No one carried cameras. All the times at the drag
what
race.
What do you mean our day? Do you just try to lump
No, I looked at
you?
Him.
I mean, I
you look at Brett. In my day. I think Brett's younger than me, man.
Is he?
Yeah.
The school didn't take pictures? The sports camps didn't take pictures?
I mean, well, just parents, they didn't.
I'm noticing the unlove here, Dan. I'm sorry.
So,
do you want to hug?
Fist bump. So I take lots of pictures of my kids and stuff. So I was very, when other butlers were looking at girls and chasing girls or whatever they did at the house, which I don't know for sure, I was busy collecting history and I was busy working on my relationships with Hef's friends while others are probably like being distracted by flashy things.
You were actually working on a book about the mansion.
I did. I got the green light.
And the history of the mansion. Not so much about the Playboy mansion, but the actual history of the mansion itself, right? What are the other books that you've written?
It's just, I'm a regional local historian. It's a description, not a title. But
you did it with Fountain Valley and places like that.
God's favorite city, Fountain Valley in Orange County. So what I did was the corporate, I had to ask them, and I wouldn't sign the NDAs. That's how it came. So I wouldn't sign the NDAs because if you write, then you don't want to be owned by them. And so one of the lawyers came from the office and talked to me in the dining room. And I said, I'm not going to sign it because I'm going to write about the house. Well, we'll talk about it. So long story short, I got the green light from corporate, but I don't need their photos. I need the photos from Amanda Warren in the foundation.
Good fucking luck with that.
Okay. So Steve, I would know some of the things that would come in and Hef wouldn't be interested in everything that came in, but I know it's still in the archives. So I'm pretty sure I know things that are in the archives, certain things that Steve mentioned that they don't even probably know. And it has to do with the property itself. And so I would tell him I want to write about the property. Playboy will be the last chapter. He's only the third owner, and it's a fascinating history for the whole area, the Wolf Skull Ranch and the Holmby Hills. And so my publisher requires a minimum of 250 photos or whatever, and we never got past enough handfuls. So it's the contracts are just laying there. So that's it.
Was the house actually a monastery of some kind at one point?
That's news to me, sister.
Well, no, I had heard that.
No.
That it was like monastery or something to do with
It definitely was
men.
A house that had a lot of dignitary type people that came there. Yeah.
That used to go up to the house, he used to hang out there when he was a kid.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. But
I used to always trip out on the small little steps. You know, Jen, when you go down the side of the sloping lawn and those little steps where we'd put the big slip and slide.
Yeah, where we'd hide the
little mini steps.
Spot the Crane used to chase me around all the time in that area. So I just would never go there.
Well, I was told that those little steps were made like that because of the kind of socialites that would come to the mansion back before it was Playboy Mansion. They take small little steps with their long dresses and all their stuff, and that's why there's short
little
steps.
No, that's when they had concubines up there and the little tiny feet. Remember the concubine era?
Oh, well, the concubine era.
The trafficked concubines?
What, like, for you, though, here you were in the catering business, right? Now you're working at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, a lot of similarities, obviously, you know, like setups and dinners and stuff like that. But how would you describe, like, your day-to-day duties? I know we had different shifts and everything like that, but...
Day-to-day. Yeah, duties. But our events weren't, well, it's always the boobs, right? We didn't have a lot of that.
A lot of what?
Boobs.
Boobs?
Chichis.
Tatas.
What did you, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying,
he
like,
got
you're
distracted by just
yeah,
the
word
boobs.
Yeah, you just got distracted. I don't know where Squirrel. You went. I think Dan all of a sudden thought he was looking out the window, you know, right by the phone where everybody were to call in, and he pictured you ladies
Squirrel.
Out there sunny.
Squirrel.
No, just say like day to day. How would you describe like working as a butler for the, because when people hear butler,
oh,
they start picturing like William. Like Jeeves or whatever the dude from Batman,
the
you know,
or something.
Answer the door. I mean, yeah. Like, you know.
Well, the only real butler there that I ever know of was William. He's a real butler.
Oh.
William's yes. A butler. It's not just the accent.
English butler.
He's a butler. We're glorified what's? Step and fetch it, sir. No, I mean, the idea is to take care of our day-to-day duties as far as keeping the house stocked and maintained and keeping an eye out things and marking everything down and basically taking care of him and his friends. So all that entails wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. Well, it wasn't the money. It was everything else.
You know what, Jen? We had actually a question from one of our VIPs about the grounds.
Yes. Shortstop. Yeah. Yep. So he said, because the mansion was a home away from home for many young ladies, I've heard the round-the-clock support from excellent staff, chefs, etc. I assume there was wear and tear to the grounds and within the mansion. Because curb appeal is so important, in addition to keeping the mansion in top shape, were there any special secrets in keeping the grounds maintained to a certain standard that was acceptable to Mr. Hefner in supporting of the young ladies and visiting guests? Which I think is a great question.
Dan?
Well, I know for a fact from you guys that if there was a party by 4 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning when that sun came up, there wasn't one wrapper, one...
You didn't want to look
at
it.
There was not one. There was nothing.
Came in right
yeah.
away.
You guys, yeah, you guys yeah. cleaned to make sure when Hef got up that it was as though there was never a party there.
It was an amazing
there.
Production when you think about it. If you were to talk to like a Hank Fawcett or Manny Barba about their crew, the grounds literally, I mean, we had freaking landscapers. Right.
Yeah, there was a
you
major
know, you
crew.
Had a whole maintenance crew. But the landscapers alone would start on one side of the property and keep moving.
Yeah, they never stopped.
It just
constant.
Kept going. It was a nonstop. Remember, we talked about it on previous shows.
Daily.
About the private redwood trees, that whole area. Everything had to be groomed. Everything was taken care
yeah.
of.
Yeah, so it was a daily thing. There was definitely landscapers and gardeners or whoever
like
that
Disneyland.
Was taking care of the grounds well, on a daily basis along with the
that's
animal
best,
care.
You said it, like Disneyland.
It was like Disneyland. You got to
which,
hose off
which
the bird
I've
poop
mentioned
in the
before,
and,
John yeah. Luther, who was the yeah. GM, he yeah. came from running the Disneyland Hotel.
Oh.
So he ran. He always used to tell me, say, Brian, you just think of this as like running a hotel and our boss is the VIP in the VIP suite.
Yeah.
And that's how you ran the place.
Yeah.
I just remembered this. Is this true? I feel like Ava taught me this when I was giving tours. Did they like release ladybugs to like naturally take care of the critters or whatever that would you know attack the redwood trees or something? I feel like that was one of the facts.
Ladybugs
that
wouldn't
I
do it because those are like bark beetle go after those type of trees. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think it'd be ladybugs. But they had the
something.
Top arborists in the state. Those trees are all registered.
Yeah.
Regular visits by arborists and the spraying of them.
And you knew like Hank, yeah. which I'd love to get on
Bonsai
the show
Hike.
Because we got to give him so much credit yeah. for what he did up there. And he took such a love and passion.
Yeah.
I think everyone took a love and passion for their yeah. department.
But you know, I worked there after, right? I stayed.
Oh, no, I know. I wanted
yeah,
to touch on that. So
that was weird.
We're going to take a quick break. We are with Dan Gibb, butler extraordinaire. I'm just going to keep saying that. It's kind of fun. We're
going to
take a quick break. We'll be right back because we're going to talk about the fact that you were one of the few staff that continued on. We'll
yeah,
be right back. You're
this.
Listening to Rogue Bunny's Mayhem.
The Rogue Bunnies have had some pretty epic in real life events that I'm sure you've all heard about. Wondering how you can be included in our next one? Become a VIP NFT holder. The main benefit of being a VIP is access to our events, and lucky for you, there are multiple ways to become one. Purchase a stunning Rogue Bunnies Founder Drop Ordinal, minting now at ordinals.roguebunnies.com. Or own a legendary or epic trading card. Buy one right off of our marketplace or try your luck with a Series 1 trading card pack. Once you own one of these, get verified in our Discord and claim your status. The VIP perks don't end at in-real-life events. You'll also have priority access to future drops, gated chat channels with the Rogue Bunnies, VIP-only online events, and more. Want more details? Visit roguebunnies.com. Then follow the bunny mask and get ready to go rogue.
Welcome to the metaverse!
Right before we went to break, you were mentioning like you actually got hired on by the new owner.
Correct.
To do what?
Well, I moonlighted as doing armed security. Oh. And so over the years, I would tell staff, you know, bring in a third party security and stuff. I would tell, I don't know if it'd start with Guy or whoever, said, you know, I can fill in for you guys. You don't have to hire these outside guys. So I'm already here. And I already know the guests because the security has to know the guests, even by face or voice or whatever. So I said, just if you need me, I'll come in. So apparently that went through all departments and it got signed off on that I'm going to do security and butler. Butlers are we got a better gig than security by a million miles. So I said, well, I'm not going to leave a butler. So, and then was it Rick Campillo? So then it got dropped right then. And then later on, it started to pick up again as Hef was waning and slowing down. And so they tried to get me in, I guess. And I was going, I wanted to, because I wanted to stay on staff. Because apparently, who's going to be the last butler? Who's going to be the last butler? And we know why.
Staff was getting cut down to smaller. Right. Yeah.
So it took so long to get everything done. In the process of doing that, Hef passed away. Yeah. So I became a security with a couple other security guys from Playboy.
See, that's what's really cool is that Dan, you got to really perform a lot of duties at the mansion as you went from butler, then you become security. And then I think about the Mopar events.
Ah.
You know what I mean? You actually got to help bring a big event where we had a bunch awesome muscle cars at the mansion.
What's Mopar?
I brought God to the mansion.
What's Mopar?
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Here we go.
Show him your tattoo. You want to see my tattoo?
Go on, please. Yeah, explain.
Mopar is the racing division of Plymouth and Dodge.
Oh.
Chevy doesn't have it. Ford doesn't have it. So Mopars just mean the muscle car division of Chrysler products, which is Plymouth and Dodge. And so my friends own a magazine, Rob Wolf and John Ellis of Muscle Cars, Mopar Collector's Guide out of Louisiana. And so I gave them a tour. I said, they wanted to shoot that one picture. They want to shoot me at the house. So I forgot to ask for permission.
I actually have Dan on the cover of a magazine in my bar at my home signed on my wall.
I forgot to ask for permission to do a magazine shoot of my car. So I rumbled up my car early in the morning, parked it in front of the house.
Wow.
Horrible.
That was a fun event.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun. And one time I tried to bring muscle to muscle cars, and someone made the guy that I, did I pay him money? Made him put on clothes. Actually, it was him. Someone said, dude, he's naked. Well, he's not naked, but I brought a muscle guy and some muscle girls, muscle cars at the mansion. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what the hell? What the hell?
Well, this is the Playboy mansion.
Yes, man. But the girls, so I brought a professional bodybuilder. I brought a bodybuilder. So as they come off the shuttle, it's muscle cars at the mansion. And so the rest of the night, he had like a cutoff shirt on. So over the years, it wasn't just the magazine. I got to do a lot of nice things because I worked there. You know, took the family out on the blimp. I did other interesting things by just having friends do tours at the magazine.
We got enough time for one last story.
Oh, the story? Okay.
Okay. Did you have any one personal interaction with any celebrity at the mansion? Because I hear it like, oh man, yeah, I got to have this cool combo with so and so back in the game house, or I had this cool combo with so and so back in the bathhouse. You know, there's always some area where you know butlers were going around cleaning up, and all of a sudden you meet someone, and then they actually approach the butlers and ask a question. Next thing you know, you're in this cool conversation going, did that just happen?
Yeah, I did. Well, I took Elon Musk to meet Coop and chatted briefly.
He came to the mansion?
Yeah.
When was that?
I don't know.
Oh.
But he had to meet him in the library. But no, Steve and Tyler, because remember the butt kissers can't come in the house. Butt kissers have to stay outside, basically, right?
Right.
So Tyler, and then I said, do you want a tour? And he goes, give me a tour. So it was just me and Steven. So it was cool to give a private tour. So I'm giving him a tour and he's like, oh, take a picture of me here. Take a picture of me. Hey, can I play the piano? So I got serenaded by Steven Tyler. Sweet Emotion.
That's amazing.
Like
that. That's so freaking jealous.
Yeah. Sick, right?
And then he wanted me by Barbie's bus. He said, take a picture of me, Barbie. He's like a little kid. And then he wanted to see the recording room. And then I think Tony showed up or something and spoiled the fun. Tony and some other security, like, hey, what's going on here? Like, just give me a tour.
Steven Tyler, let him go.
Yeah, let him go.
You know, the music room was really cool, though, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Back right behind the library. Did you ever go back there, Jen?
Yeah.
How about you, Victoria? Do you ever
the
go
organ?
Back in the library? Yeah. When you go into the library, you go to the back and there's the restroom that's there. Yeah. There's the bathroom that's there. Then there's another door. It had like a stained glass window on it. You open that up and all the records and all that stuff. And that was the back end of the organ.
The pipes.
Teresa and I used to go back there all the time and hang out. I have so many pictures of her dancing and singing back there. Is that good sound?
That'd be good.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the sound.
Yeah, we went in there a lot. Wow. And those were his records as well. His collection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a huge collection.
Dude, man, I know you can go on and on and on.
Oh, it was the van room you and I were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The van room. That was a scary one.
Oh, dude, we're going to have you come back.
Just ask me about the van room.
Did you ever have sex at the mansion?
I absolutely unequivocally. How do you say it? Unequivocally?
She always it's comes a yes in or no answer, sir.
Absolutely not. But I saw things.
I'm sure you did.
And here's something I never did. Hey, those are very nice. It's too bad they're fake. No, they're real. No, they're fake. I'm a butler. No, they're real.
They all taste the same.
Feel them. Tell me they're not real. I never did that.
Yeah.
Amber Campisi.
And we're going to close with that.
Amber.
Dan, babe, thanks for coming out, man. I know you're not really on social media. Does anybody follow you? Are you pushing your books or anything? Or? No, nothing.
No, I'm learning. I'm going to learn the podcast.
You're not into that world.
It's overrated.
No, yeah, you keep a week.
Go outside in the fresh air, youngsters.
Yes. He thinks computers are going to go out of style.
It's a big fad.
Computers. That's a whole other show we can totally do with Dan.
Don't buy
it. He'll take his deep dive into the whole like conspiracy
time with tech with
world.
Dan Gibb.
Conspiracies.
I'm there. I love that stuff.
All right, we're gonna head out. I'm Brian Alea.
I'm Victoria Fuller.
Jennifer Pershing.
And we are Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. And
The mayhem continues.
Hey, Mayhem Familia. Don't forget to click, like, and subscribe. And tell all your friends.
Also, visit us at rbmayhemshow.com. That's rbmayhemshow.com.
And I want to give a special thanks to Dapper Labs, Flow, Gig Labs, and also Flow Score. And
the mayhem continues!